Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Can you lift your hands toward heaven one more time and honor the name of the Lord? Give Him praise, give Him glory. Open your heart, ask the Lord to minister to you. The Bible said, until the time that His word came, He said the word of the Lord tried Him. The king sent for to loose Him, even the ruler of the people. So there is that moment of the Spirit where the word of the Lord comes. And that is where changes take place. That's where transformation and transfiguration takes place. Ask God for a word tonight. Ask Him for an encounter. That word that will shift you from where you are to where you ought to be. Minister to me tonight, Father. Let your name alone be glorified. Just go ahead and make that your prayer. My heart is hungry. My heart is open. I want to suck everything that the Spirit of God has for His people. Go ahead and bless His name. Ask Him to impart you. Ask Him to transform you and to transfigure you to higher levels of glory. Transfigurations of the Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We bless your name. We give you glory. And so, Father, we honor you again. We ask that your word will come fresh. And we ask that all that your word has to offer, let it become the experience of your people tonight. At the end of the day, Lord, you alone will be glorified. In Jesus' precious name, we have declared. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. You may be seated. It's good to see Reverend Bruce Musidi. The first time I came to Zambia, I had the opportunity of meeting with him. So good to see you, sir. Hallelujah. Praise God. The emphasis of the conference is the restoration of the Melchizedek priesthood in the life of believers in the marketplace. It's a program, a spiritual program of empowerment. But this kind of empowerment is an empowerment that is beyond the four walls of the church. It's an empowerment that confers upon you the capacity to impact society, to bring about paradigm shifts, to bring about change and transformation in culture, and to bring a people to their corporate heritage in God. This is the kind of empowerment we are trusting God for in this conference. And I believe by the time this conference is over, the proof will not just be what you carry in your notebooks. The proof will be who you become and the impact you will leave in the nation of Zambia and beyond. And that's what the Lord will do by His Spirit in the name of Jesus. Now, we are looking at priesthood as the fulcrum that powers this reality. And so, I began yesterday by explaining to us what priesthood is about, because it's important for us to understand priesthood and its dynamics before we can apply it effectively in our context as the Lord will grant us opportunity and establishment. And so as a form of recap in the next 5 minutes, I'll just go over it quickly again before I launch further to my discussion tonight. And so I told you there are 5 major molecules that defines priesthood. There are 5 realities that defines priesthood. And anyone who is engaging the enterprise of priesthood, these things must define your essence. And before I went into this, I made sure to let you know that the kingdom of God is not for Christians. The kingdom of God is for priests and kings. It is the people of the world that called us Christians because they saw that we look like Christ. But when God established his kingdom, he said it's for priests and for kings. And that is because of the operational modality that defines the essence of a priest and of a king. If you study the book of Exodus chapter 19 from verse 4 to verse 6, the moment God delivered them from Egypt, he had to draw their attention. And there were three things God itemized in that scripture. The first is the fact that they needed to recognize his strong arm. He said it's by the hand of God that they were delivered from Egypt. And then he went further to show them the necessity of obeying his voice. He said, if you will keep and obey my voice, then, he now went to the emphasis, the major emphasis, I will make you a kingdom of priests. And so the kingdom of God is for priests. And in the New Testament, Peter reiterated this emphasis in 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. He said, you are a royal priesthood, God's own special people called forth to showcase the excellency of him that has called you to glory. And John also reemphasized this in Revelation chapter 1 verse 6. He said, unto him that washed you. So just in case you don't know why you were saved, you were not saved to go to heaven. You were saved to come back to the assignment of priesthood and kingship. He said, unto him that washed us and made us kings and priests unto God. So we were restored in order to function in our right priesthood. And our emphasis in this conference is the Melchizedek priesthood. And the major emphasis of the Melchizedek priesthood is the fact that the Melchizedek priesthood is able to merge the Levitical order and the Judaic order. So in the Melchizedek priesthood, you have service to God and rulership combined together. In the Aaronic order, the priest is not a ruler. The priest only serves on the altar, while the king exercises rulership. But in the Melchizedek priesthood, kingship and priesthood is merged together. And because of that, priesthood in the Melchizedek order is beyond the four walls. In the Levitical order, priesthood is attached and isolated. It operates only in the tabernacle. It operates only in the sanctuary. But when you come into the Melchizedek order, because there is kingship, you cannot function in priesthood only in church. You have to take priesthood from church into the marketplace. This is why it takes the Melchizedek order for the marketplace to be involved. And so when Peter said you are a royal priesthood, he didn't say you are called to burn incense. He said you are called to show forth his glory. And you are showing forth that glory to the nations of the world. And this is God's primary agenda. When he created man, he didn't create man as an isolated being to function in the four walls of a building. He created man and gave him a territory. Because the ranking from whence man was created necessitates that he governs over territories. I told you yesterday that when you study the hierarchy of the kingdom strata or the kingdom structure, you will discover that there are five major ladders. There are five major stratas. The Bible told us in Colossians chapter 1 verse 15, it's talked about Jesus, who is the creator, the first of all things, who is the creator of all things. And the moment he finished talking about Jesus, he now went to talk about thrones. And then he spoke about dominions. And then he spoke about principalities. And then he spoke about powers. That is kingdom strata. Now, when you study the nature of all of these princes, because all of these are princes, you will discover that a throne is a prince that has the right to co-rule with a king. This is why in Revelation chapter 4, you see 24 thrones. They don't have territories. They are ruling with God. They sit in cabinet like elders, and they are given the privilege to participate in matters of counsel as a borders on the kingdoms of God. And then when you leave the thrones, you come into dominions. You know, Jesus told the 12 disciples, he said, you will sit with me on 12 thrones to judge the 12 tribes of Israel. So thrones are those who judge and co-rule with God. But when you leave the level of thrones, you have dominions. Dominions are princes that are given territories to superintend over. So a dominion is a governor. That's why when man was created, he said, let them have dominion. And immediately, he gave him the earth as a jurisdiction. So when a prince is a throne, he co-rules with a king. But when a prince is a dominion, he has authority over territory. This is why priesthood is a must. Because if we don't have priesthood, we cannot rule over territories. Are you following the sequence? And so when we are talking priesthood, it's not just about prayers. It's not just about church activities. It's actually about ascending into the realm of God and making contact with God to download realities from heaven so that we can dominate the earth realm. And so if we are not dominating the earth realm, then the realities of our ascension is a waste. And so last night, we wanted to see how we ascend in the realm of God. Because if we ascend in the realm of God, the things we touch are the things that will give us the empowerment to bring governance and rulership in the earth realm. When you get into the marketplace, you are going to discover it's a treacherous ground. You may think you need a bachelor's degree in economics to function in the marketplace. But when you go there, you will be shocked that the CEO you are talking with is carrying the live tortoise on his stomach, like PK told us. So somebody can come for a board meeting and he carries a snake. His belt is a snake. If you are not careful, you will be swallowed up because you spoke where people who have power are talking. And so before you go there, you need to add something to your Harvard degree. That thing you add to your Harvard degree is what we call priesthood. You need to add something. You can go for a board meeting and come back paralyzed because somebody greeted you, but he greeted you with power. Because the moment you spoke, he saw that you have the cerebral capacity to challenge him. And so you became a threat in that meeting. It was no longer about deliberation. It was about silencing you. And so when he shakes you, he will transfer something. If you don't have the requisite capacity to rebuff what he transferred, you will become a victim. But you see, when you enter with priesthood, after you talk economics, you will also exchange hands in the corridors of power. And when they shake you, they will feel the vibration. They will know you know something. They will know. They will know you know something. Sometimes they ask you a question to set you up. But when they ask you a question, the realm you will answer from, they will know this one is not from a textbook. It was a download. But only your priesthood can give you that level of invincibility. This is why the marketplace is for priests, not just for entrepreneurs. Please be seated. I said there are five molecules that makes for priesthood ascension. And I said number one is the art of ministering to the Lord. When we begin to minister to the Lord, what happens is that the heavens open so that we can ascend to the mountains of God. In Exodus 28 verse 1, it says, "Separate unto me Aaron and his sons, that they might minister to me in the priest office." And so the first operation of the priest office is the act of ministering to the Lord. In Acts chapter 13 verse 1, the Bible spoke about Paul and four other people who were prophets and teachers in the church in Antioch. He said, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the heavens opened. And the Holy Ghost said, "Separate unto me Paul and Barnabas." Because if you don't know how to minister to the Lord, you won't hear the sounds of heaven. What carries you to high places are the sounds that come from that height. And the way you activate those sounds so that those voices can descend, "Separate unto me," is when you send ministration there. You know, the Bible said in Revelation chapter 5 verse 8, it said the prayers of the saints, the ministrations of the saints. He said they ascend to heaven as odors. They are mixed in vials. And so when God wants to bring legislation to the earth realm, he looks for the voices of those who know how to minister to him. This is why the princes that are in the courts of heaven, that's all they do. The Bible said the 20 and 4 elders, day and night, they fall on their faces and they cry, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." We are not talking about prayer warriors. We are talking about priests. A prayer warrior comes to a prayer point. A priest is looking for interaction in heavenly places because there are his weapons. He needs weapons to fight because he's going to war.
And for him to access those weapons, he needs to ascend to high places in the spirit. And the way he does that is to attract sounds by sending ministrations to heaven. And so when you find a priest who knows how to ascend, he eulogizes God. Go and study the life of David. You know why he's an ascended person. They can talk, and when they talk, the glory of God moves. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's a king talking. You are now asking, how about his experience in battle? How about his authority as a king? He is telling God that, although I have a lot of credentials, none of it matters. Your presence is more important to me. The Lord is my shepherd. When God hears that, he said, this man has understanding. He sees me to be superior to his accolades. That's how to minister to the Lord. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? When he talks like that, the glory of God begins to move and the heavens begins to give way. And so when people want to engage priesthood, they must know how to minister to the Lord. That is the way of the patriarchs. They were wise men. They knew that the advantages were in heaven, and they always ascended there in order to rule on the earth. The second way to engage priesthood, I told you, is the act of waiting. See, when you want to be a priest, you must let God know that he is more important. He is priority. So you don't rush in and rush out. Sometimes you go there, you are quiet for hours. It's not about the time. You are telling him that I can wait. I can follow your protocol. I can follow the laws that you have set in motion. I know you are not a servant, you are a king. I'm the one to wait for you. Many times after Moses climbed Sinai, Moses will be there for 6 days before the glory of God descends. But the guy will not go until God comes. And so when God sees the tenacity of your heart, it reveals to him that he is your strength. It reveals to him that he is your exceeding great reward. It reveals to him that he is your priority. And because he is your priority, he begins to amplify your propensities so that you can come up hither. But you see, our generation is not taught the art of priesthood. So people think talking to God is also at the frequency of the Gen Z generation. It doesn't work that way. God is king. We wait for him. You know what the Bible said? In Isaiah chapter 40 from verse 31. It's a day that wait upon the Lord. He said they mount up with wings like the eagles. There's something that happens to them. They begin to fly in the realm of God. And he said when they run, they are not weary. When they walk, they don't faint. Who told you you will go into the market where sorcerers are coming to trade? You will not be tired. Unless as your wings are at work. Because sometimes while you are in that meeting, when sorcery begins to traffic, you will ascend. And you will leave them in the table of negotiation. They won't know what is happening. Why are these arrows not touching you? I have mounted up. I have entered Zion. I am not talking to you from high court waters. And so when you talk down on them. That is when your intelligence becomes 1,000 times more than theirs. The things that are difficult to them, and they are thinking there is no answer, you answer it cheaply. And they are wondering, how do you know these things? I'm reading another scroll. I have gone to another dimension. I'm talking from a height that your philosophy can't take you. I'm talking from a height that your economics can't take you. I'm talking from where creation itself was fathomed. The wisdom that holds the foundation of the earth. I'm looking upon that wisdom. And on the strength of my interaction from those heights, I can tell you what to do. As a matter of fact, you stop being their partner. You become their teacher. And so when you talk, they take notes. Because they now know that that meeting is important because you are there. You bring credibility to the table because you have ascended. But many can't wait, so their wings have not expanded. You know the way the eagle soars? He spreads his wing and he glides on the wind. He glides. But the way you glide is when you wait. They that wait upon the Lord, they mount up. Come up hither, brothers and sisters. Your advantage is in high places. Your advantage is in the heavens. We walk on earth, but we are creatures of eternity. We live on earth, but we are creatures of heaven. We are not of here. The Bible calls us ambassadors. We are pilgrims on the face of the earth. And for us to dominate this realm, we must have contact with our nativity. And our home is Zion. Our home is Zion. Ascend. You need ascensions in order to rule on the earth. But you have to wait upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord. It's not for Christians. That's why I told you, the kingdom of God is not for Christians. There are many Christians who are frustrated because they don't know priesthood. They think because we are born again, all of us will have the same experience. No! All your blessings are in spiritual places, in heavenly places, in Christ Jesus. If you can't ascend there, you can't touch it. So we are all Christians, but some of us are priests. And we are engaging our priesthood. And when you ascend, your gender doesn't matter. Your age no longer matters. Your race no longer matters. You can be a black leading white. Because in that level, you have become spiritual. It no longer matters where you come from. It no longer matters how old you are. Because what you are touching is older than the foundations of the earth. This is where the advantage of the believer lies. How much ascension do you have? They that wait upon the Lord become light. Earth has made you heavy. Relieve yourself from those burdens and ascend. And you know, after waiting upon the Lord, the third thing about priesthood is to behold. Because when you get to that realm, you will see things. Oh my! You will see things. That is the realm where a voice walks. On earth, voices come as sound. But in that realm, voices walk. You can enter that realm and God will talk. And the voice of God will walk and hug you. So you don't hear with your ears. All your cells respond to the vibration. And so the thing that happened there is that transfiguration begins to take place. That's why it says, we all with unveiled faces, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, we are changed. Even your molecular structure will be altered. And when people see you, they will discover that you went somewhere. You are no longer the man who went to the altar. The one who came out is different because you have seen the glory. Did you not read in your Bible when Zechariah saw the angel and came out? He didn't talk, but they knew. They said, this man has seen something. The Bible said Moses beheld the glory, and when he descended, his face began to shine like the sun. And even Moses was not aware that something had happened, but the people knew because his face was shining. And they had to gather veils to cover him because he has gone to a realm beyond mortals. At that realm, Moses could write laws. At that realm, anything Moses says will bind on everybody that is on the table because he has been transfigured. So one, the one who is talking is like a God talking to man. You can't argue with him. Anything he says becomes law. And even the wisdom he operates is superior to human wisdom because transfiguration has taken place. Listen, you are not what the mirror showed you. There are many things about you that is not known. You think a mirror can tell you who you are? The only mirror that can tell you who you are is the word. And you will see the reality of the word when you are ascended. That's when you can go up poor, but God says you are a prince. You can go up sick, but God says you are healed and you are a healer. You can go up weak, but God says you are strong. This is what the heroes of faith knew. He said, time will fail me to speak of Gideon, to speak of Barak, to speak of Jephthah, to speak of Samuel, to speak of David and the prophet. He said, who through faith subdued kingdom? How did they do it? They were encountering things that were eternal. He said, weak men, they were made valiant in battle, and they put to flight the armies of the alien. So in the natural, they were weak, but they went somewhere. And when they went there, as they came back, they were not the same that went. And so they subdued their world. When you wait, you are given the opportunity to behold. And when you behold, you become. That's the power of beholding. He said, it does not yet appear what we shall be like. He said, but when we shall see him, we shall be like him. So when you see him, what men see is no longer the fleshly dimensions. It's the dimensions of divinity. And some of those dimensions are light. That's where wisdom comes. Some of those dimensions are fire. That's where revival comes. Some of those dimensions are crystals. That's where the secrets of God are. Some of those dimensions are like the waters of God. That's where authority to colonize nations come from. It depends on what you have seen. When we go to those heights, some we see fire. Some we see light. Some we see the river of God. And when we come out, we will dominate the earth by different dimensions. Because what we see is what we have become. But all of that is at the mercy of your priesthood. What have you seen? There are realms beyond textbooks. There are realms beyond Facebook. There are realms beyond Instagram. Come up to Mount Zion. That's where warriors are made. They say weak men came to David, but they became veterans. Veterans! Because of the things they were exposed to. It said broken and battered men came to David in Kiv Adullam. But when David exposed them to the realm of God, a point came, the Bible spoke about them. He introduced them as the mighty men of David. How did broken and battered men become mighty men of the greatest king that walked before Christ? Because they were exposed to dimensions. And he said, speaking about Adoni the Tachomite, he said on one occasion he took a spear and he slew a whole army. He said, Eleazar, the son of Dodo, he took a spear and he fought from morning to evening and he killed 800 men and secured the land. His hands became cleaved to the sword. He could no longer open it. Why is it so? Eliezer means a spare. The guy became one with his weapon. There's a technology in the realm of God where you become like your destiny. Do you know that even your parents can miss your destiny? Even your parents. Because they may not have sufficient prophetic intelligence to decode your destiny. But it doesn't matter even if your parents missed it. You can be called Abram, but when you go up, you can be called renamed Abraham. You can be called Simeon, but when you encounter, you can become safe as the rock. So it doesn't matter what men called you. It doesn't matter what circumstances called you. How high have you traveled? Even Jabez can become savior of Israel because he has gone up. Come up hither. It's a summon for sons. And this is why priesthood is non-negotiable. The more you see, the more you become. And it's from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the living God. Until your propensity becomes like that of God. You know, I quoted Isaiah 40:31 for you. If you read that scripture from verse 28, the Bible said something. It said, "Have thou not known? Has it not been revealed to you that the everlasting God fainted not, neither is he weary?" So only God is the one designed and defined not to weary nor faint. But when we ascend, he said, we too become like that. He said, when we run, we are not weary. When we walk, we don't faint. So there is a place where resonance takes place between you and God. It is in the mountains of Zion. That's why I say it does not yet appear what we shall be like. He said, but when we see him, we become like him. Priesthood is beholding. And when you behold, a point comes when you are given the opportunity to participate. Because there is a place of the participation of the beloved. That's why Elijah came to the king and he said, before God whom I stand, there shall be no rain or dew. I stand somewhere. You call this your palace, but I came with an atmosphere. I have become a participant in another council. And so when I move, the power and the authority of that council travels with me. And so I can be in your palace, you'll be helpless even while I'm here standing. Because now I've been given the honors of participating. Imagine if you participate with Daniel in a council. Did you not read that when Jesus was praying on the Mount of Transfiguration? Matthew 7 verse 2. He said, Moses and Elijah descended. And they were talking to him about what he would do in Jerusalem. Imagine if you are a government agent and then you go to wait on the Lord and Daniel shows up and tells you, I saw Nebuchadnezzar. And if I was able to deal with Nebuchadnezzar, you can deal with the kings of your generation. Because you are not the first. But that possibility is on the mountain and only priests can travel that far. There are times when as you interact, a point will come. Creatures of eternity will walk to you and they will begin to talk to you about what you are doing. That's when you will know that this ministry you have is the same thing that Paul did many aeons before you came. And those things happening to you, they are not new under the sun. You are just fulfilling a destiny that was fulfilled in different generations. The baton has been handed to you. It's when you go to those mountains that you start having those encounters. I was supposed to travel to Kenya for a meeting. And I was so tired and exhausted because of the magnitude of the meeting. And I took time to wait upon the Lord. When I descended from the airport, the Holy Ghost now whispered the name of a patriarch and said, he's going with you. Don't be afraid. You have messengers. When the Bible said you have come before the company, the multitude, the crowd of witnesses, it was not a figurative speech. It's a reality. And there are those who handle the experience because they have come into participation through priesthood. When you stay on that mountain long enough, you will meet men. You will meet dimensions. You will meet angels. And you will meet creatures of eternity. That thing will make you to stand above men forever and ever. This is the secret of priesthood. When you get to that level, you may come as an individual, but there's a spiritual company coming with you. And so when they gang up, it scatters. They don't know how. It's because of those who came with you. Creatures of heaven travel with men on earth by reason of priesthood. We are not alone. We have a very huge company working with us. But it is priesthood that will make it our experience. We are not alone. Some of the battles you overcame, you think you have the mental sophistication to overcome them? No. There were beings that came with you. But as I teach you priesthood, I'm letting you know these realities are there. So that next time you become conscious. Because these things are the secret weapons of the kingdom that makes for our advantage. You have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, to an innumerable company of angels, to the spirit of just men made perfect. When John was carried in the spirit, he saw one of the elders who was carrying him through heaven, and he wanted to worship him. He said, no, I'm one of your brethren. The difference is that some of you are on earth, some of us are in heaven. We have crossed over to glory, but through priesthood you can network glory. Do you know that even witches know this? How do you think the witch of Endor was able to summon Saul? To summon Samuel to talk to Saul about the battle he was going to fight the next day. That means the witch of Endor had the technology of communicating with patriarchs that have gone to rest. So if the witch of Endor has a business with you today, he can go and find out the person who did that type of business 100 years ago and interact with that person. You think if he's sitting on the same table with you, you can defeat him? These are witches that didn't have legal access. But for us, he said, we have come to Mount Zion. The problem is that we are not conscious. What priesthood does is to awaken the consciousness. And so you can sit in a board meeting and somebody taps you and say, don't worry, I'm Daniel, I'm here. Any question you have, I will whisper to your ears. You can sit in a meeting and Isaiah tells you, don't worry, I'm here. And then the Holy Ghost, the governor of them all, is there with you. That is what we call participation in the beloved. And it's a weapon for believers. Finally, when you get to this realm, then the fifth level of priesthood is legislation and litigation. And I told you, legislation is the act of writing laws and enforcing laws. While litigation is the act of prosecuting or enforcing laws violated. And so because we are priests, if we come to a place where the will of God is not finding an expression, we can write it as a code for the will of God to become the dominant factor. And if we come to a place where the will of God is being violated, we can stop the violation because of our scepter of priesthood. And I say, when you become a legislator, God now begins to increase your rank from an intercessor to a guardian, to a watcher, to a custodian, and to a judge. And when you read the Bible, you are going to see men who operated at this level. An intercessor is one who stands in the gap. So there are many people in scripture who stood in the gap for the body of Christ. A guardian is one who provides covering for others. In Acts chapter 20 verse 29, Paul said, when I leave you, grievous wolves will come. That means if I'm here, they won't come. That's a covering. Samuel was a guardian. When Saul wanted to arrest David, David ran to Samuel in Nayoth Ramah. And Saul came. The moment Saul entered the proximity of Nayoth, he prophesied naked. Not because David was fighting, but he came under the radar of Samuel. It's called priesthood. That's a guardian. And then you have watchers. Watchers can judge people who want to violate God's kingdom. When Paul met the sorcerer, when he was talking to the governor in Acts 13 verse 11, and he wanted to sabotage God's agenda, he said, you'll be blind for a season. Those ones have power to judge. They can judge you so that the kingdom of God is not violated. And so there are priests that must rise among us. You see somebody who is representing God's kingdom in the marketplace and they want to kill him. You can make a declaration and those who are against him will go down so that the kingdom of God will advance. That's a watcher. And then a custodian is a keeper of the secrets of God. There are certain men that when you meet them, they say, I give you wisdom. You'll be shocked the level you start operating because God has given them the authority to impart wisdom. There are certain men that will tell you, I give you favor. How do you think the patriarchs bless their children?
That's right.
He said, get me a savory venison. I will eat and my soul will bless you. And then he looked at him, he said, your heavens are open. The smell of my son is like a field that the Lord has blessed. He now said, I bless you with corn and wine. Are you a farmer? What do you mean by that? But that's a custodian. When he talks, nature will obey. Jacob said, gather around me, Genesis 49, and I will tell you the things that will befall you. And he looked at Judah. He said, the scepter will not depart from Judah, neither the lawgiver from in between her feet, until Shiloh comes. Until today, Judah is king. Even Jesus had to come from the line of Judah because a custodian spoke. And all of these are benefits of priesthood. In the Old Testament, it's for a few, but in the New Testament, we are all redeemed priests and kings. That means every believer can operate in this dimension. Imagine if you become a custodian. How can your business fail? How can your career fail? People can gang up against you. You sit in your bedroom and you say, in the next 3 months, I decree that what I will achieve is more than what I've achieved in 3 years. And it becomes a law in the spirit because a legislator has spoken. That's the power of priesthood in the marketplace. And every believer must grow into those rankings. As you grow into those rankings in the spirit, certain things will be resting on you. And I want to highlight some of those things tonight to help our consciousness. There are 5 things that will come upon you as you grow your priesthood. And those 5 things are your physical pragmatic advantage or advantages in the marketplace. And every one of us who, by the help of the Holy Spirit, consistently has engaged priesthood will have 1, 2, or 3 or all of these benefits. Number one is the presence of God. When you become strong in priesthood, the presence of God is given to you as a token. Trust me, you will die in the marketplace if you don't carry God's presence. It's not every battle you fight with bows and arrows. Some of your enemies, you don't even know them. But what will shield you in places where you can't talk to defend yourself? What will shield you in places where you don't have connection is the ambience of God that comes with you. And that ambience is generated because of priesthood. In Psalm 91 from verse 1, it said, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, he said, he shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And then he began to show us the benefits of dwelling under the shadow of the Almighty. Go further and see what it says from verse 2. I'm showing you how we conquer the marketplace. It is through the weapon of the presence. He said, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. So when the presence comes upon you, it becomes a fortress. So you are an impregnable wall. No matter what they do, they can't get you. They can even put charm on your seat. You sit on it and stand up. It can't hurt you. Because there is a wall of protection around you, which is the envelope of the present. He said, my God, in whom will I trust? Go to the next verse. I want to show you how the presence will make you become invincible. Verse 3. Please help me. I'm running against time. He said, surely he shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. So there are times when arrows are orchestrated against you, and there are times when even nature will rebel against you. So whether it's an arrow or a pestilence, the presence sustains the capacity to preserve you. So there's no weapon designed that can bring you down. There are certain battles you fight through prophecy. There are certain battles you fight through faith. There are certain battles you fight using the name of Jesus. But when you carry the presence of God, you fight all battles and you prevail. Is it not when you know what is coming against you that you use the name of Jesus? What if you don't know it? Let me show you the multitude of enemies that the presence deals with. He said, he shall cover you with his feathers. So the presence is a covering. He said, under his wings shall thou take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Because under the presence of God, the rhema word comes. That's where you interact with the truth. That's why Peter said, holy men of God speak as they were carried by the Spirit. So at that level, utterance comes to you beyond what you have read. The truth of God becomes your weapon. Go to verse 5. He said, you shall not be afraid of the terror by night. This is when you are unconscious. But even in the subconscious state, there is a defense for you that makes you to be bold. And he said, not the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that lay waste in noonday. Verse 7 is my joy. He said, and 1,000 may fall at your side. He said, 10,000 Imagine one man. See his enemies. 1,000 on one side, 10,000 on another side. He said, but none of these things shall come near you. Why? Because the presence has become your shield and your buckler. So as you are ascending in the realm of God, an atmosphere will come with you. This is the only weapon Moses had. And Moses brought Egypt down. Moses carried over 4 million men across the Sinai desert. What was the economic structure they had? What was the security architecture they had? They didn't have any of these things. The presence was sufficient. And as if that was not enough, their clothes did not tear. Their shoe was growing with them. That means the presence has encoded therein a technology to sustain you, regardless of even the value you have to offer. I'm telling you, this is why priesthood is important. Priesthood causes the presence to envelop us. And so when you see a man you think is weak, try him. Something will hit you from nowhere. The man may not even be aware. Have you not been there where people come to apologize to you and say, we plan to destroy you, but we didn't know what went wrong? Because your covering is the presence of God. And that's what priesthood gives you. And I declare over someone hearing me, the presence will become tangible on your life. That's the first feedback mechanism that priesthood provokes. I call them the crystals of priesthood. It comes up, they are tangible. It just falls upon you and it remains there, creating undeniable impact. And when men look at you, they don't know why you are rising. They don't know why you are invincible. It's the canopy of the presence. The second thing that will happen to you as you engage priesthood is that the blessing will come upon your life. The blessing. And nothing prospers a man like the blessing. When God created the man, he said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue, have dominion. That reveals to you that God's plan is for us to take territories and to take the whole globe. However, on what basis did he make that declaration? It's on the blessing. He said, and the Lord blessed them. The moment he blessed them, he said what? Be fruitful. He began to declare what the blessings will do. And if you study the blessing is not cows. It's not cars. In Galatians chapter 3 from verse 13 to 14, we saw that the blessing is the promise of the Spirit. And so now that the Holy Ghost has come upon your life, the Holy Ghost has become the blessing. But you see, although the Holy Ghost is the blessing that you carry, you may not maximize the Holy Ghost, because for you to maximize the Holy Ghost, you must enter the fellowship of the Spirit. He said the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God. When it came to the Holy Ghost, he said the communion of the Spirit. So it takes priesthood for you to enjoy the blessings of the Spirit. This is why many carry the Holy Ghost, but they don't have that blessing. Do you know how the Holy Ghost blesses you? It can give you wisdom to create what others can see. It can give you favor to attract what others can attract with hard work. It can give you discernment to escape what others cannot see. And so somebody else gets into a business, invests all his money, and the money is wasted. You are about to enter. You hear a check. Don't. You don't pick that from a textbook. That's the blessing of the Spirit. And so discernment tells you, although this business promises 300%, this business promises 10,000%, but there's a signal. Stop. And all who rushed into that business, tomorrow you hear that they are probing them, that the stakeholders are criminals. All who run into that business, tomorrow you hear that it has dropped. And everything, you are wondering, why didn't the experts discern it? When a demon is involved, experts are helpless. And most of the transactions of the world, demons are interested in it. People who come from the deserts, people who come from the belly of the sea, and you see them in board meetings, you think they are men. You are joking. Some people are wearing this thing so that they can come among men to sabotage God's agenda. If you don't have discernment, you assume every lady you are seeing is a human being. You assume every man with suit and a briefcase is a human being. Ask those who are walking in the corridors of power. They will tell you that fishes come to negotiate transactions. They will tell you that dragons come to board meetings to negotiate transactions. They will tell you that donkeys come into meetings and you are talking to elephants. You think you are talking to men. By the time you enter that meeting, they swallow your wealth, or they implicate you in something that you will never recover from, and the whole destiny is lost because you didn't have discernment. But the only way you can walk in the code of discernment is when the Holy Ghost begins to operate with you. That's why PK said, for us to take over, we must have a walking and a talking relationship with God. That's priesthood. He was sharing with us, sometimes they invite you to certain meetings. If you enter and they read the profile of the people you came to consult for, you will say you are supposed to be their student. But now you have come as a consultant. There's no time to go and read the book. And they are telling you problems that even the registers you are not acquainted with. And then you are wondering, how do I consult here? But when you remember that the author of life and wisdom dwells in you, sometimes you excuse yourself for 10 seconds, sometimes for 10 minutes, sometimes for 20 minutes, and you switch to heaven. Manta kiba rakatoa, zezegida paragada, valondro parista, bakarado stavakia, manta. You have the right to ease yourself, but you don't need to explain to people how you ease yourself. So I can enter the bathroom, maragida hadaka. Sometimes you finish praying, nothing happens. As you come back and open your mouth, then the Holy Ghost will enter your mouth. He said, when you are invited to speak, don't contemplate what you will say. Just open your mouth and we fill it with words. And you will say things that both you and the people are hearing for the first time. You finish, they say, wow, you are super intelligent. I'm not intelligent. I have access to secrets. I enter realms of disclosure. Don't you imagine what Daniel confronted? The king invited him. Daniel chapter 2. He had a dream. And he said, I won't tell you the dream. Tell me the dream before you interpret it. Is it not when they even tell you the problem? How do you do it? But Daniel said, there's a God that reveals secrets. Nothing is too hard. You know what the other magician said? They said, this thing is not possible among men. It exists only in the realm of the Holy Ghost. When Daniel showed up, he said, because I have God in me, I operate in the realm of God. Give us time. And the Bible said, then was the secret revealed to Daniel in the night vision. When he showed up and told the king, this is your dream. Any interpretation he gives, the king knows is correct. And the day came, the guy built his antecedents on the strength of the blessing of the Spirit. Until in Daniel chapter 5 verse 11, when a hand wrote on the wall and there was no solution, it was not a pastor that recommended Daniel. It was the queen that came. He said in Daniel 5:11, there's a man in your kingdom in whom is the spirit of the Holy Ghost. He said, light and understanding dwells in this man, and he has the capacity to explain hard sentences. Call for him. Daniel didn't know what the problem was. He just came. And suddenly they told him, a hand wrote on the wall. You would think Daniel would say, oh, I need to read the textbook. He has matured. There was a time when he needed time. There was a time when he needed to pray. Now him and the Spirit is one. As he's talking, the Spirit is talking. It's no longer give us time. He said, God has given you a kingdom that exceeds to the ends of the earth, and you have decided to worship the God of iron and stone. He said, therefore is this hand come. Mene, mene. Teke ufasin. This is the interpretation. He told them the writing. They didn't even know the writing because it was the language of angels. Guess what? Daniel operates in that realm. So when he came, it is his family member that wrote something. He knows that language. And he interpreted it. And it was not just about the excellency and dexterity of interpretation. What he said happened that same night. I prophesy over someone. The grace of God that brings distinction, it rests upon you from tonight. The blessing. Go and read your Bible. Genesis 39. From verse 3 to verse 4. Potiphar looked at Joseph. They say, I know God is with you. That's why everything you do prosper. They know. When they see you, they know if what you are operating is beyond the ordinary. And that will become your security. In Genesis 37 verse 13, Laban told Jacob, he said, God has blessed me because of you. I have understood by divination that God is with you. They carried the blessing. And so even if they went into the wilderness, there is a wisdom to change things. When Laban wanted to steal from Jacob, 10 times he changed him. How will you prosper with such a cunning man? But the Spirit downloaded the technology. Don't worry. Go and get a tree. Paint it. Get the animals to mate watching it. They will produce colors after that order. And if you don't want them to produce colors, leave it blank. So when Laban comes and says, I choose the blank one, the guy does a painting. All the strong animals are strong, are painted. How do you think you can? Do you know the dark oracles that some of these emirs consort? Do you know the dark oracles that some of these guys consort? You see them doing yoga. You think it's exercise. You don't know what they are connecting with. You don't know who taught them that Tai Chi has a technology of aligning the frequency of the mind with the spirit realm. Do you know who these guys are? You go into a meeting with somebody who sits on billions of dollars. You think it's about English language? Who told you English language can produce $1 million? Who told you a certificate can produce $1 billion? Go and check. Anybody who commands fortune at a level has interaction with spirits. And it's a conscious and deliberate interaction. Nobody enters that realm by chance. When you come there, you will discover they are gatekeepers. That's why when you dash certain people, certain amount of money destroys them. Because they don't have clearance to operate that level of economic power. And so if you want to operate in certain dimension, your priesthood must first of all take you there. Because the wisdom you need to sustain that dimension, you don't find it in a book. The discernment, there's a level you get to. Everybody, including your family member, want to kill you. You will discover that 20 assassins are on your neck. You will discover that all the security apparatus of a nation are watching all your steps. How can you be correct at all times? You will need spirit precision in order not to be victimized. Because at that level, even your mistakes can swallow you. Because people are following you, systems are following you, and the goal is to destroy you. You cannot not have a precision that is beyond human intellect. That is where the blessing comes in. So that even what you didn't premeditate, when you do it, you are right. Because then you know more than your teachers. And even when you are in the wrong way, you hear a voice behind telling you, this is the way to go. And so precision, preservation, and productivity becomes the outcome of all your engagement. Not because you are the most intelligent, but because you have access to secrets. You have access to dimensions. And you have access to the blessings of the Spirit. Even in ministry. Why do you think certain ministers suddenly are crushed? Because they enter certain levels of visibility and influence. And they don't know the priesthood that sustains that realm. And you can make one statement. They will take it out of context. Blow it out of proportion and crush you. You can be an ambassador. You make one sentence. They take it out of context. Blow it out of proportion and damage your career. But when you are operating by the Spirit, even the words you speak are given to you. You can't make certain mistakes anymore. It is the blessedness of the priesthood. We are out of time. The third thing is consecration. When you start engaging priesthood will give you certain consecrations. In Genesis 39 verse 9, Joseph said, I will not do this evil and sin against God. So the gift had a consecration that sustained it. He didn't just wake up as a dreamer or an interpreter of dream. He had a law, a code that bound him. Imagine that a man refused to carry out what our generation calls pleasure. And he was in prison for 14 years. And there was no time that he regretted. He was ready to pay the price of his consecration. In Daniel chapter 1 verse 17 to 20, he said, Daniel and his friends proposed in their hearts that they will not defy themselves by the portion of the king's meat. See, don't look for the blessings of the Spirit and not imbibe the consecrations of the Spirit. Every one of us who is wielding power, there are laws that the Holy Ghost gives to us to keep us there. The weight and the strength of your consistency, how long you will last in power, is a function of the weight of your consecration. When your consecration is violated, you become porous. That's why the Bible said, the people that God will use, he said, they are those who have purged themselves. He said, the standard of the Lord standeth sure. Therefore, the Lord knoweth them that are his. He said, they that nameth the name of the Lord must depart from iniquity. He now said, in a great house. So before you become a vessel of honor, you must purge yourself. Before God takes you to certain levels of authority, whether in government or in the economy or in the academia, there's a level of consecration that you must sustain. And so one thing that priesthood will teach you is consecration. For Daniel, the Bible said 3 times Daniel prayed facing Jerusalem. 3 times. For him, it was a law he couldn't violate. All of them had consecrations. And finally, you need training. There are realms where you can't go crude. No matter how gifted you are, you must be refined. That's why mentorship becomes a must. Listen, you may have a gift. You may carry a dimension. But there are certain corridors you can't go crude. Remember, when the king called for Joseph, he didn't just walk out of the prison and went there and say, I'm the prisoner. He had to be cleaned up. If you refuse training, you will limit your possibilities. Because there are three things trainings do for you. Number one, training redefines your vision so that you can harness its potentials. There are many people who have great visions, but they don't even know how to start because they are not trained. So they don't know the step-by-step execution of the vision. They don't even know what aspect of the vision to begin with. And so when you meet them, they have 1,001 things they want to do. And so they become jack of all trades that masters none because they are not trained. But when you are trained, see what training does. Are you not surprised? You want to be a doctor. They go and start you from nursery rhymes. And you are singing songs. How does singing songs has to do with flying a plane? But it has to be sequential. And then you grow from one level to another. Now, I'm not endorsing classroom training. My idea of training is actually mentorship and apprenticeship. Because like you said, classroom training gives you theory, but mentorship gives you practicals. And so when we are talking training, we are talking on-hands training that develops you so that your vision is refined and you can execute it. Paul speaking in Philippians 4:9, he said, the things you have seen, heard, and participated with me in doing, he said, the same do, and the God of peace will bless you. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, he said, all that you have received from me, he said, the same commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. Why many people are not effective in the marketplace is because they refuse mentorship. They refuse training. They say they know it all. And they go and make mistakes that are not necessary. Why? Because they are not trained. If you are trained, your vision will be refined and harnessed. The second thing training does is to enhance your potentials. And the third thing training does is to increase your effectiveness in the line of duty. And so when you see what a mentor has done, and when he teaches you those truths, you will know how to start. It is in doing that you now open up to your own possibilities. When you have been trained, then you can allow creativity in execution. But if you are not trained, you will make errors that will keep drawing you back. And I can tell you why most of us are not effective in the marketplace is because we are not trained. Who do you hear? Who do you see? Who are the people that have defined certain roadmaps for you? You cannot just start without training. If you want to be effective, one thing priesthood will teach you is that this thing is in succession. And so you will look to them who through faith and patience obtained the promise. These are the blessedness of the priesthood that makes for empowerment. I just spoke with Pastor Olakunle for 3 days. And a new aspect has been opened to my ministry. When he was talking, I said, how does he think? What am I hearing here? And he's defining the future as though he lives there. And because of that, I'm sitting with him, he's talking, I carry my phone, I jot something. I'm going back to the organogram and the operations of my ministry, and I'm restructuring things. Because somebody spoke around me for 2 days. Imagine if I sit with him for 3 months. That's the blessedness of training. It will change your life forever. And I can tell you, I've been trained by many people. And I'm still being trained. And that day will never come when I will stop being trained. Because at every level, they are masters. My time is up.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins. He was raised from the dead for my justification. I, therefore, confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, congratulations, you are now a member of the family of God. Kindly send us an email, prayer@encounterjesusministriesinternational.org. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministriesinternational.org. God bless you.